It's great to see you this morning, after such a long time. So much I could say, so much I want to say. But this morning is about us meeting together with God, isn't it? And just some words to kick off from Psalm 100 here. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And this is the line I like. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. How many of us know this morning, through everything we've been through, that the Lord is good? Fantastic. It's lovely, isn't it? I just want to share with you before we start this morning something that happened to me a few weeks ago when I was in the garden mowing the grass, as I want to do every now and again. I enjoy listening to my music, and I had my iPod on, and I was listening to a new album from Elevation Worship called The Old Basement Church. And there's one song in there that says, Come Again. And that's the title of the song. And it's about God meeting with us again. And there's a refrain that happens quite a few times throughout the middle, and it says this. It's not a building you want to fill, it's my heart. This empty space is what you wanted all along. I'm going to say it again. It's not a building you want to fill, it's my heart. This empty space is what you wanted all along. And as I was mowing and singing, I don't know what the neighbours thought, that really touched me, because how often have you heard me pray, God, come and fill this space. God, come here and manifest himself in this building this morning. And something, a voice in my head said, no, that's not quite right. Because even though that would be great, we don't spend 24 hours a day in this building. And how sad it would be if God manifests himself just in this building. Because when we go outside, what happens? God's in here, and we're out there. So God this morning wants to meet us, and he wants to meet us here, doesn't he? In our hearts. And the song goes on to say, it's much better if we're empty. What can God do with empty vessels? Fill them. When there's too much of us in here, God hasn't got much space to work with. But when we're empty, God loves that. God loves us to be empty because he can fill us and use us and make us the person he wants us to be. Isn't that exciting? So this morning I pray that as we meet together here collectively for the first time, and for those of you that are worshipping with us online this morning, I pray that you will just allow God to empty you. That you will just allow yourselves to be completely empty of you, to allow God to fill himself up so that he can work the miraculous. Because when we're empty, he can do the miraculous. Do you believe that this morning? That God can do the miraculous. There's going to be some fantastic things happening in amongst our fellowship. I really believe that over the next weeks and over the next months. And you know, God can use each and every one of us and wants to use each and every one of us. So this morning as we come, let's not pray that God will join us in this building. Let's pray that God will manifest himself in our hearts, that we will feel something new, something alive this morning. And the title for this morning, if you don't know, is called Ready for Action. And I just pray this morning that as we just get into God's presence, that he will just be with us. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that we can say, yes, come and meet with us. But Lord, come and fill our hearts. Come and set us on fire this morning as we meet with you. And we just say what a fantastically great God you are. Just come and be with us. Set us afresh this morning on fire for you, that we will be able to be empty vessels ready for you to fill us and use us for the person that you want us to be. in your name. Amen. Let's sing together, and I would encourage you, if you're going to sing, to keep your mask on. We're going to sing two songs back to back, and let's just step into God's presence and allow him to just minister to us as we just share together. Great to know that God is faithful, isn't it? Let's just spend a couple of minutes just together in prayer. Just as we just share together. Before I talk about what's coming up in the next few weeks. Heavenly Father, we just come this morning just to say again a huge thank you. Thank you that we're able to open this building. Thank you that we're able to meet together this morning. Lord, there's so many places around the world that can't do this, that can't openly open doors and meet together and sing your praises. And Father, I particularly bring Afghanistan to you this morning. Lord, you know what's going on over there. We've seen the news. We've heard some of the stories. Lord, I just pray you will just bring peace to that nation. The Christians that are meeting in secret, that you will just be with them. Lord, that as things unfold, that your will be done. And Lord, we also remember this week the hurricanes that have gone on in the United States and the horror stories we've heard about the flooding that's happened in New York and other places. Father, I just pray you'll just be with that nation too. Lord, such a big nation has such a big influence around the world. Lord, just please be with those that lead that country. Father, that you will just, beknowns or unbeknowns to them, steer them along the right course. Lord, we know all the things that are going on around the world. Lord, there's climate change and we seem to be slowly destroying our planet. Father, I just pray that you will just sort things out. Lord, it's very difficult for a single person to do anything. But Lord, when we come together and when we know that we have you in the midst and you are ultimately in control, we know we can do great things. And Lord, as a fellowship, I bring us before you this morning. Lord, there's loads of our fellowship that are not well, that are waiting for test results, that are going for tests, that are just going through a hard time. Lord, I just pray you'll just be with us. And be with each one of us, Lord. Just throw your loving arms around us, Lord. And as we just begin to think about what's going to be happening over the next weeks and months, as church begins to try to get back to some form of normality, Lord, I just pray that you'll just help us and remind us that things change and things need to change. Lord, that as we just begin to think about what you would have for our lives, and for the mission of this church, Lord, that you will just be with us. Thank you, Lord, for all those that lead in whatever way that happens to be, not just the leadership team, but all those that help in different activities that go on. Lord, I just pray you'll just bless them. Lord, just make them useful for you. Lord, that as they just put their lives back and say, use me, Lord, that you will just use us and we will see things happen that we've not seen before. And I'm very conscious this morning of our young people. You know, it's going to be really difficult to get our youngsters back in the building. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your will be done, that we will see our youngsters thrive and flourish because you are working in their lives and just work in all our lives, Father, I pray. In your name, amen. Now, many of you will be aware of this thing called Immerse. Some of you may well not. And certainly if you were at the last church meeting, you would have seen the slides that I'm going to show in a minute. But I really believe that this is right for us to fellowship at this time. And it's going to be a new way of us experiencing life together in God's word. And I hope that excites you this morning, because it certainly excites me. I'm just going to play you a video of where this whole immerse experience has come from and its birthing, just so you begin to get an idea of what's coming up in the next few weeks.
The roots of this actually go back about 15 years now, with a group of Bible publishers that for the first time really began to dig around into the data. Really, there were two divergent lines that told the story. The first line was an access line. How many people had Bibles? What kind of Bibles did they have? What was available? And that trend line was skyrocketing. But the other trend line, the reading trend line, and that's a very different story, and that trend line is literally in freefall.
Chapter and verse system came together to create the Bible more in the form of a reference book. And increasingly in the modern period, we've added chapter numbers, verse numbers, but also footnotes, cross-references, adding things to the Bible that have made it a difficult book to simply read. Not surprisingly, we're increasingly reading the Bible in bits and pieces, oftentimes reading them out of context. So we're not getting historical and cultural and even literary context. We don't see songs, stories, proverbs, prophecy, all these different kinds of writing in the Bible are locked on us because we see two columns on the page and it all looks the same. At the same time that the Bible was being turned into a reference book in form, it was close to the time historically when the printing press was made. So for the first time, people started getting their own individual copies of the Bible. So increasingly, people started reading alone, rather than in community settings, which really characterized the earlier life of God's people with the Bible.
Landmark study, 80,000 people who were queried about their faith and about church, 87% said, "Help me understand the Bible in depth." When they were asked if their church was indeed doing that, only 19% responded positively. We began going out and talking to hundreds of scholars, Christian thought leaders, pastors. And so we began to collect wisdom from those people. And what developed out of that was this paradigm-shifting new approach to the Bible, which we're now calling ours.
Chapter numbers, verse numbers, footnotes, cross-references, all that stuff that we've been piling into the Bible. We took it out. We have a nice, clean, single-column text. We looked at the book order. We said, that's not always the way the Bible has been. So we put Luke and Acts back together again. We reordered books like prophets and Paul letters into a more historical order. Not just one big, huge, heavy book, but rather six readable volumes in the natural divisions of the Bible. So people just have, in every way, a book in front of them that invites them to deep, good Bible reading and engagement.
So we're inviting people to have an 8-week major section of the Bible. The reading plan is designed for people to read about 10 pages a day, 5 days a week. In 8 weeks, you will have read the entire New Testament or a major section. We've moved away from a Bible study model and switched over to a book club model. People are invited not to be experts in the Bible, but to simply converse about what they've read. And when people begin to love something, all of the dynamics change. This is proving to be a game changer and a very different way to engage scripture.
So there are 6 volumes in Immerse. You do 2 a year in 8-week programs. In 3 years, you will have gone through the entire Bible, and then you're free to go back to the beginning and do it again, so that life with God's Word is a regular part of the Christian life following Christ, that we don't just have one-off experiences and then move on to something else, but we're actually living with God's Word deeply on an ongoing basis.
So does that excite you? Good. That's not to say we're doing away with reference Bibles. That's not to say we're doing away with Bible study, because that still has an important part to play. But for 8 weeks, we're going to just immerse ourselves in God's Word. So just to recap just a little bit, what is it? What's it going to be about? Well, it's a different way of reading God's Word. And the literature says, use Immerse, the reading Bible, instead of your regular chapter and verse Bible. This special reader's edition restores the Bible to its natural simplicity and beauty by removing chapter and verse numbers and other historical additions. Letters look like letters. Songs look like songs. And the original literary structures are visible in each book. So it's a really simplified reading layout. Single column, chapter and verses removed, books grouped together for a more logical read. But it's still the entirety of God's Word. Nothing's been added, and nothing from God's Word has been taken out. And we have a reading plan that's going to take us through 8 weeks, and it gets everybody reading together. And I find that exciting, because it's a whole church thing. It gets us all together, all reading from the same page. It brings us together as a community. And, you know, because it is just, I'm not going to say just a book, because it isn't. It's laid out like a novel in that respect, and you can just pick it up and read it. We can invite anyone to join in. And I hope that excites you too, because it excites me. And it takes 20 to 30 minutes a day for over 5 days just to read the plan. And as you may well expect, there's family guides and there's full audio. If you prefer to listen to it online, you can do weekly online videos. And we're going to be using it for teaching as well on Sunday. And the other thing that really excited me when I started looking at it was the way it's going to change the group dynamics as we meet together. And I would encourage you, if you haven't ordered your copy of Immerse yet, then speak to Annalisa, because it's going to be an exciting time. And please don't just take it away and read it. Get yourselves into a group, because we're going to have some fantastic discussion as we begin to get together and read. So let's commit to making this a whole community experience. It's designed for groups to encounter large portions, and in our case, the whole New Testament in 8 weeks. And when we meet together in small groups and we discuss what we've read, having honest conversations, us and our community, we can come together and be transformed. Because that's what it's about, isn't it? Being transformed through God's Word, having an authentic experience, something new, something alive with Scripture. And we've prayed this morning over every single copy of these books, that as you take them and that as you read, that God will become alive to you afresh and anew. There's something for you on every single page. God wants to speak to you and he wants to speak to me. And what better way of doing it than reading his Word? So it's not designed to be a Bible study. And please hear me clearly here. I am not in any way putting down Bible study, and I'm not in any way saying that we shouldn't do in-depth Bible study. But this is different. This enables us to ask anyone to join in. And isn't that great? To think that if your neighbour, who is even remotely interested in reading, you can say, why don't you read this? See what you think. Come and discuss it with us. And it also means that anyone can lead a group. And we do need this morning help with groups. We've got about 6 groups that I know of. A couple are going to be on Zoom. Some are meeting in houses and different places. But if you feel this morning that you can lead a group, and you don't have to be a theologian, because you're only going to ask four questions. What stood out to you this week as you read? Was there anything confusing or troubling? Did anything make you think differently about God? And how might this change the way we live? So rather than having really in-depth questions and theological people needed to answer them, this is going to open up God's word in a different way. This is going to enable us to have discussion around what we've read. This is going to enable us to share what God has put on our hearts, that he's illuminated as we've read during the week. And I hope that really excites you. Because as you meet in whatever groups that happens to be, you can have a wonderful time as God just begins to open up scripture. And I really hope and pray that it changes the way you and the way I live as we begin to share around God's word. And that's what it looks like. I mean, the books are all here. Please take your copy this morning if you've asked for one. If you haven't, speak to Annalisa, and we have got plenty. So it's the whole church. Why us? A whole church experience immersed together in God's word. And what better time than right now, when we're beginning to open our doors again, when we're beginning to meet together like this. It's great to be able to see you all this morning, not in a little rectangle. I know some of us are on rectangles. Good this morning. Good. Well done this morning if you're still on rectangles. I pray that you will also be able to experience with us as we're sharing this morning. There's going to be lots of Sunday teaching, which is going to kick off the week's readings ahead. Lots of groups meeting to share their experiences. And I pray for spiritual growth as the Holy Spirit illuminates the text. And this verse jumped out to me. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. And the bit I've highlighted, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And we're beginning to think about now mission. What does that look like for our church in the back end of this year? What's it going to look like next year in 2022 and onwards? And what better way to begin to think about what it's looking like than to begin to prepare ourselves for what God has for us, to equip us to be useful for him as we go out the doors and we share the message of Jesus with others. And I said in the church meeting when I first shared this a few months ago, I'm really believing for 100 readers, 100 people, that will be sharing together with God's word. And I believe we're up to about 60. Annalisa's nodding. So 60 books have already gone. We have 100 copies of this book. And we have about 20 copies of the bigger book, which has got larger printing. And I think some of those have already gone. How many of those have we got left, Annalisa? Do you know, roughly?
About 10.
So half of this. So don't be put off if you need a big print. We've got some big print as well. But let's really believe that 100 people, and not just church congregation here, people we can invite in from the outside to share with us as we read God's word together. And I'm excited. Let's pray for a move of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen before, to give us a fresh insight into God's word. Because that's what we need at this time. We need a fresh insight to see what God has for us. Prayerfully consider who you could ask to join in. It's not too late. We're not starting for a couple of weeks. And if you're able to gift them a copy of the book, why not do that? And as I say, if you're willing to host a group, then come and see me or Annalisa after the service. We need to firm up groups by the end of today, please. So if you feel that you can host a group, that you can just invite some people together to share over coffee what they've read, that would be great. So we're going to kick off from the 19th of September through to the 7th of November, the week before Remembrance Sunday. And then we're all going to come together on the 13th, the Saturday, for a celebration lunch. And how exciting is that going to be? When we all meet after reading the entirety of the New Testament and being able to share together what God's done for us over the previous 8 weeks. I'm excited, and I hope you're excited too. So please really begin to pray into it that God will do something together as we share a new experience of life together in God's word. I commend it to you. It's going to be great. We have some flyers if you want to take away one to give to somebody. But please, really, pray that God will begin to use these 8 weeks, that we will begin to all see something new and afresh in God's word as we read it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can start something exciting, that we can get excited about the things of you. And Father, I pray for this book, not just any old book, but this bestseller, this book that contains so much that you want to share with us. And Father, I just pray this morning that as people read, you will illuminate. That as people think, you will expound. And that as people share, you will do new things. So Father, just really just begin to open up our hearts this morning. And as we move forward, as we hear what you have for us over the next weeks, that we will begin to get a sense and anticipation of exciting new things. I ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. But my darling wife is going to come and just read for this morning the scripture. And it's from John chapter 4, starting at verse 5, if you've got Bibles or clicky devices and you want to have a look.
Well, as Nick and Annalise have both said, it's lovely to see you all this morning. And I'm just going to lead us in the reading of God's word today. As Nick said, it's taken from John chapter 4 and it's verses 5 to 30. Eventually, he, that's Jesus, came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give you will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband, for you had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at the Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, What do you want to do with her, or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came, streaming from the village to see him.
It's a great story, isn't it? I just want to unpack it a little bit for us this morning. Now, those of you that know me will know that I can talk for
too long.
That's right, too long. You'll be pleased to know that's not going to be the case this morning, I hope. Bless you. Thanks, David, for that. That's good. That's really encouraging, isn't it? It's great to get some encouraging words from the front. Okay, so this story then, and I've entitled it this morning, Ready for Action. Now, if someone asked you to describe Jesus, I wonder what you would say. Would you begin by using phrases like King of Kings, Miracle Worker, Son of God? Or is the first thing that comes into your minds words like my perfect friend or love of my life? Do we relate to God as being out there, away, distant? Or do we relate to him as being in here, dwelling within us? You know, it reminds me of the child who, when asked when she was drawing, replied, what she was drawing, she replied, it's God, silly. And the adult, trying to be helpful and quiz the child further, said, you do know that nobody really knows what God looks like, right? To which the child, who was still drawing, responded, well, they will in a minute. And I guess we can all view God differently. And the answer we give when asked that question to describe Jesus, it will depend on the context to which it's being asked. And the only thing that I actually know for sure is that any answer I can possibly give will be way short of the mark when fully describing this Jesus that we read about in our Bibles. And this story today gives us a wonderful reminder that Jesus was fully human and yet fully God. And verse 6 tells us that he was tired from walking and sat wearily beside a well. Probably dusty, hot, and thirsty. So that sounds pretty human to me. And aren't you glad that Jesus understands us and understands what we're going through when we call out to him, when we are weary and tired? He can relate exactly to what we're going through, as he spent 33 years inside a human body, feeling all the joys and pains exactly as we feel them. What did Jesus say in Matthew 11? Come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest, or by implication, to be refreshed. And then we see a bit further on in the story, we then see Jesus' divinity shining through. Verse 10, Jesus speaking to the woman after being surprised the Jew would even dare look at the Samaritan, let alone talk to them. If only you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Do you remember the Heineken beer advert? Do you remember how it went? Heineken refreshes the parts other beers cannot reach. And this morning I can tell you that Jesus refreshes the parts even Heineken can't reach. He wants to refresh us this morning. There's only one thing that can quench our spiritual thirst, and it won't be found in sex, drugs, or rock and roll. It's only a risen, ascended, glorified, living Jesus that can completely satisfy that inbuilt longing inside each of us. It's a gift God has for you. What did he say in verse 10 of the story? If you only knew the gift God has for you. And this morning, God has a gift for you, and he has a gift for me. It's only in Jesus, the name above all names, that we can find inner rest and refreshment. Isn't that exciting? Does that excite you? Because it excites me. So not only does Jesus bring new life refreshment, he also provides something that should last. You should have a bubbling spring winging up with you, as in verse 13. What did verse 13 say? Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. If you've ever tried Coke or lemonade or beer that's gone flat, you'll know instantly that even though the taste might be the same, it just isn't right. It's supposed to be fizzy, right? Well, we're supposed to be bubbling, moving in the Holy Spirit's flow. Still water goes stagnant. And Jesus hasn't called us and equipped us to just abandon us to lose our fizz and become stagnant. He wants us fresh and bubbling, able to carry out the work he's planned for us. So how do you feel this morning? Are you ready for action? Or do you feel a bit flat? And it's great to all be in the same building together, isn't it? To be able to share in corporate worship. And today is all about really being back together and enjoying God's presence. And you know, the last 18 or so months has changed us all in many different ways. But the good news is that God is the same God, isn't he? Isn't God the same God as he was 18 months ago? Isn't he the same God as he was when you met him for the first time? And we can get a fresh reboot this morning. God can give you back your spiritual fizz. Isn't that exciting? So if you're feeling a bit flat, God can give you something bubbling and something alive this morning. It's in his word. What did Jesus say a little later on in a story we haven't read? At the climax of the Festival of Shelters. And again, water was used in water ceremonies to pray for rain. And Jesus said this: anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. How many of you want the Holy Spirit to flow through you this morning? That is very disappointing. Not one hand. Sorry, two hands. Three hands, four hands. Ah, oh, that's better. Good. Okay, you are still awake there. That's good. So when Jesus says living water, he was speaking obviously about the Spirit, which is given to everyone who believes in him. Now, this morning I would jump up and down on this platform, but that wouldn't do those online any good because they'd only see bits and pieces of me. But you know, that excites me when we think about the Holy Spirit wanting to do something new, fresh and alive within us. And we should all want that. As Christians, we should all want something new and something afresh, which is where Immerse comes in. And we have here again Jesus providing an image of moving water. It's not water that's still, stagnant. It's moving. And when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, there has to be a sense of movement. Moving closer towards God, getting to know him more, spending more time with him. This should lead us to become more engaged with each other as we reach out to those who are yet to experience God's love for themselves. Amen? We haven't done this for a while, have we? I can sense this morning this is the first time we've been together for a while. But God does. He wants to do something new and something alive with us. And it gets me excited. And God wants to share with us and wants to really set us on fire for him, for the work that he has for us. And the more I talk about it and the more I think about it, the more excited I get, because I know that as we come together, God is still the same God. What does the word say? Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And we should not expect him to change. God wants to use us and wants to excite us and set us on fire for the things that he has for us. And I know the last few months have been difficult, but we can have a fresh start this morning as we meet together. Something new, something alive. God wants to do something amazing with each and every one of us. I really believe that. So as we continue the story, it becomes obvious that the woman doesn't quite get it. She doesn't quite understand. And she thinks that Jesus will stop her physical thirst with this special water. So Jesus then changes tack. And he reveals her whole life story, explaining along the way that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And I love the way the Message translation puts this. The Message says in verse 24, God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. And I guess there's a complete sermon to be had in that just one verse. And you'll be pleased this morning that I'm not going to go off tack and do another half an hour on that one verse. But, you know, we can begin to think about our worship and what that means. Do you know that each and every one of us was created to worship? Everyone worships something. We all do. And I wonder what's at the top of your worship list. It's easy to say God, but is it really? Is that really the first thing you think of when you wake up in the morning? Is it the thing you think of when you're doing the washing up? Is it the thing that you think of when you're at work? Is God the last thing you think of when you go to bed at night? What's at the top of your worship list? And we can all put things in the way, can't we? Whether or not that's sport or money or fame or riches or whatever it happens to be. But God wants us to be empty vessels for him to be able to fill and use. And I love verse 26. God finally reveals in verse 26, what does he say? He is the Messiah, the anointed deliverer. And is God your deliverer this morning? And the fact that the Samaritan woman left her jar of water and ran back to the village telling everyone her story, I think shows that she finally got it. She finally got the message. She couldn't contain her excitement, and she couldn't keep Jesus to herself. What did she say? A verse I really love. She ran back to the village telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." Isn't that exciting? Jesus told her everything she ever did. And Jesus knows us this morning. Jesus knows everything about us. He knows everything we've ever done. He is the Messiah. The woman came to draw water, and she went away with something far, far better. Another changed life, having encountered the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, the question I leave you with this morning, as we look at, are we ready for action? Does Jesus excite you enough that you just have to share him with somebody else? I'm not going to ask you to answer, but if the answer to that is no, then Jesus needs to excite you a bit more. Because when we have this inner bubbling up inside of us, we cannot or should not be able to contain it. It should be something that wells up within us, and we just should want to share it in whatever way that happens to be. And that's not that we cram a Bible down someone's throat or we cram them full of religion. It's just being us, sharing ourselves with those that we meet on a daily basis. A kind word here or a little gesture there goes an awful long way. So are you excited enough to share Jesus with somebody this week? And if not, I pray that God will begin to excite you. That God will begin to do something new within you. That you will want to share the love of Jesus with somebody else. Look around this morning. Just look at the faces that are in here. Now, I want you to put your hand up if you're in the building this morning and you're under the age of 20. How many? Porcupines? Two. Where are all our young people? What are they doing? Does it sadden you? Because as you look around this morning, where is the next generation of Desborough Baptist Church? Because it's not sitting in these seats. And the more I think about it, the more I get passionate about it, the more I cry over it, that our young people are not here in the building. Why are they not in the building? God can do the work, but he can't do it without us. And to be quite honest, I'm sick and tired and fed up with people telling me they're too old. They're past it. Where are our families? Because they're not sitting in these seats. We have a Jesus living inside of us that gives us eternal life. We have a Jesus living inside of us that is the answer to the world's problems. Why aren't we sharing it? Because, friends, sitting here on a Sunday morning is not going to cut it. We can do that, and we've done it for years. And if you look round, I see a church that is diminishing. And it's a sobering thought. But the great news is, it doesn't have to be. And I really believe that God has got something really exciting for us. Something really great for us. Something that is going to fling these doors wide open and do something new. And we need to really begin to pray. Where are our prayers? And this is something else that saddens me, and I'm going to share it with you this morning. We have a prayer meeting that is once a month, that is only for half an hour. And I know it's been difficult and it's been on Zoom, but how many of us come together to pray? And I'm sad to say, I can count them most of the time on one hand. And one of those lives in Liverpool. Five on Thursday. And I could stand here this morning and I could cry and I could weep. Because folks, if we are not able to meet once a month for half an hour, which I can tell you is nowhere near enough for what God wants to do amongst us, then we have got a really big problem. Where are our prayers? And yes, it's great to say, I'm praying at home. And that's great. And I know a lot of you are praying. But come on, folks. Let's get together. Let's get together and pray. God wants us to pray together. Because if we can't pray together as a fellowship, how do we expect God to use us? And I'm not getting at anybody this morning. It's just things that are on my heart. This woman, she came. When did she come? She came in the middle of the day. When did everybody else come to draw water? At the beginning of the day or at the end? She came alone in the middle of the day. Why? Because she was an outcast. Why? Because she'd had five husbands, and the man she was living with at the time was not her husband. But she came, and she encountered something rather special. She encountered the living Jesus. She encountered the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody. She had an encounter with the living Jesus. And she went away changed. And this morning, folks, we can have an encounter with the living Jesus. Do you believe that? I want to finish by playing a song. And this is a song that has really been on my heart for quite some time since I first heard it at the Thy Kingdom Come event. And it's called We Seek Your Kingdom. And it has a repeating line asking God to transform, revive, and heal society. And I encourage you this week to look up the words and pray them over our town. Pray them over our leaders. And more importantly, pray them over yourself.
Throughout every sphere, we inscribe your heart on history's page.
God can do it, you know, but it still involves you and it involves me. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we've not engaged. Forgive us when we fail to scribe your heart on history's page. Make us again what we were made to be. Transform, revive, and heal society. And Father, I just pray this over us as a body here, that you will transform us, you will revive us, and you will heal us. Amen. Brian, come and play for us. We're going to finish this morning just by singing a song. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true, out of the heart of the Father above, streaming to me and to you. Wonderful love dwells in the heart of the Father above. Thanks, Brian. so, Heavenly Father, as we go this morning, I pray you will go with us. Father, just fill us with your peace, fill us with your love, and fill us with your presence as we go from this place. Father, I pray you'll just set us on fire for the things that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.